What's up, everybody? Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. I am your host for today, Will Pruitt, and I want to give a special welcome to the people listening on the ProWrestling.net All Access app. That's right, guys. We release an app for our All Access audio. For those of you that are subscribed in iTunes, this is the easiest way to get our content. Go on into your app store. I believe it's only on the iPhone right now or the iPad, but go into your app store, check out, you know, go to ProWrestling.net. There you'll see our updated news app and also our All Access audio app. That thing is awesome. I was playing around with it today. Now, you know, I'm obviously a member of the site. I get more than just the All Access audio, but it's a great way to listen to that content on the go. Check it out and leave us some feedback. Let us know what you think. And as always, welcome to the people listening on your finer podcast locations as well. We love you guys on Stitcher. We love you guys listening just in the iTunes podcast app, Downcast, whatever you use. If you're just listening on the website, on Blog Talk Radio, we appreciate you. Thank you for listening to the All Access podcast. Rate us, review us, do all that action, and make us look pretty. You know, we like to think we provide a good product for you guys, and if you think so, or even if you have some constructive criticism or something of that nature, leave it there. We're always open to any of that action. All right, let's get into the show real quick. We'll get into the big, fat, all-access pluggy plug later, but for right now, I just want to talk about TNA for a second. Now, this whole thing is on TNA, so obviously I'm going to be talking about them for longer than a second. But I'm frustrated with the TNA product right now, and I think that's going to come out a lot in this audio update. I've got some frustration. I'm not, like, angry at it. I don't have deep-seated anger or anything. But I'm just a little bit frustrated. Because TNA is opting for chaos instead of order. They're opting for loosely told stories where they think that almost, well, where they think that action is a substitute for storytelling. And I think that's very evident in the Aces and Eights story right now. For weeks, the ending of Impact has been, I mean, since like before No Surrender, it's been Aces and Eights come out and then they brawl with TNA wrestlers. And that's still what they're doing. That's still the formula that TNA is following. Aces and Eights comes out, there's a brawl with TNA wrestlers, and we go off the air with the brawl happening. That's a big issue I have. How does this brawl end? You know, TNA never updates us on their website. You know, we had to call in the cops to separate them. We had, you know, Aces and Eights ran off once we had the upper hand in a collection of baseball bats. The fans rioted and kicked Aces and Eights out of the building. None of that. TNA never brings any of that to the forefront. They just say, well, the show ended, we were fighting, we go back on the air next week, and it's, oh, well, there's order again. I mean, how do these fights at the Impact Zone end? We don't know. Like, is there this magical security force that comes in around, you know, 10:02, and is like, all right, guys, it's time. Break it up, break it up. I know a lot of you are sitting there going, Will, that's just how the wrestling show ends. It's just like when another show ends on a cliffhanger. It's not a big deal. But it is. Because TNA likes to present themselves as real. And this is not real. So that sort of chaos bugs me. Also, just going to the big brawl again. Like I said, it's been ending the show since, like, September, August or September. TNA has been going to the massive brawl for years, and I can only think of one instance where it has been something special and worked really well for them. And that instance was the massive brawl between TNA, between, like, the Main Event Mafia and the World Elite or the TNA Originals or something. And that was a great, big, like, 20-minute brawl. But on this show, again, a big brawl breaks out backstage. They go to commercial, and they just come back to the ring, and they're like, yeah, yeah, things happened. No one says, well, you know, security got back there, and we were able to separate the Aces and Eights and get them back to their holding tank, slash clubhouse, slash Devon's, like, Thunderdome. I don't know what they're calling it. So, I have a big issue with chaos. In a way. I think that it's overplayed in wrestling today. I wrote a column, one of my editorials on Raw a week and a half ago was about how the Raw show opted for chaos far too often. And chaos only works when it's actually chaotic and when it's not the order. In TNA right now, chaos is the way that things work. Chaos is the way everything happens. So It's not anything special. Just a major issue that I had with this show. The big brawls are getting tiresome. They're getting repetitive, and it's the way the big story works. Also, who is the lead babyface in the Aces and Eights drama? Is it Hulk Hogan? Because if it is, why is your lead babyface a guy who's so crippled he can't walk down the ramp half the time? Is it Sting? Which, you know, I can understand your big competing babyface in that story is Sting. Well, Sting's a part-time guy, and you're not really moving it on to someone else. And there's so much that is strange about the Aces and Eights drama here, and we'll get to it as we go through this show. Other big events on this show, Jeff Hardy versus Austin Aries became a ladder match. We're going to talk about that. Luke Gallows was revealed as an Aces and Eights member. We'll get into that. That was kind of the big closing surprise of the show. And I can't think of anything else big that happened on the show, actually. Oh, Matt Morgan stole a cape. All this and more on this TNA Impact Wrestling All Access Audio. But before I get into the chronological review and recap of the show, I want to plug the ProWrestling.net members section. This is a really cool site, guys. If let's say you downloaded the app or you subscribe to the All Access podcast. Yesterday, you got about half of our .net weekly audio show, and Jason promoted it afterwards, all the exclusive news after the break. That's not a rare occurrence on the .net weekly audio show. It's not like he was just promoting that because we had some, you know, hangers-on listening in. That's a weekly occurrence on the ProWrestling.net audio show. First run news gets broken on that show and oftentimes doesn't appear anywhere else. It doesn't appear on your copy and paste site. It doesn't appear in text form on our site till sometimes days later. If you want to be informed, if you want to have kind of the first look at all this stuff, ProWrestling.net should be your wrestling website membership of choice. On top of that audio, you get the .net countdown show with myself and Jake Barnett, counting down the top five best and bottom three worst moments of every week in wrestling and giving our own unique spin on things. You get the occasional Chris Shore audio interview with some of the top wrestlers on the indie scene. He's recently interviewed Kevin Steen, Mike Bennett, Maria Kanellis, the Young Bucks, the list goes on and on. Chris Shore going out there and getting some of the top indie interviews in the country. Also, Jason Powell goes out there and gets interviews with some of the highest profile people in the wrestling industry. He's a big insider, and you know what? He's going to share that perspective, get some great perspective. Recently, former WWE creative team member Court Bauer joined us and talked very frankly about the Brian Gewirth situation, the transition away from him. A guy that still, you know, has contacts and still talking to people in creative came and shared with us kind of that perspective of things. There's also, you know, a backlog of interviews that's crazy. Brock Lesnar, Chris Jericho, just to name a few. You've got, I believe Conan is on there. Sean X-Pac Waltman's on there. It is a very, very large and very, very good amount of interviews. There, a lot of Jason's are longer. They're really great listens. On top of that, ad-free access to the ProWrestling.net members site. When you visit the website, no ads. You sign in, boom. That's it. And access to the all-new and improved ProWrestling.net members forum. That thing is pimped out, yo. It's just a really great, a lot of improvements have been made. A lot of fun can be had there. And there's a really great group of people there that, it's different than other forums you may have been a part of. We're not a petty group. Well, most of us. We're not a, we're a really fun and accepting group of wrestling fans in there. And there's a whole lot of other benefits. I can't even spell them all out for you right now. They're fantastic and numerous. If I've sold you, if you're going, Will, how do I sign up for this ProWrestling.net members site? It's simple. Go to ProWrestling.net. There's a membership link on the right-hand side of the page. Click that bad boy. Boom. You got access. If you're wondering, now this is going to cost a pretty penny. You might be surprised. If you take the annual option, it's down to $5.50 a month that you're paying. And that's it. You know, $5.50 a month on the annual option. If you just want to try it out, you don't want to commit for a year, you're not ready for that long-term relationship with myself, Jake Barnett, Chris Shore, Ryan Kessler, and Jason Powell, That sounds weird. If you're not ready for that long-term commitment, date us a little bit. Try us out for a month, guys. Go ahead. You know, kick the wheels a bit. $7.50 for that month and, you know, just check it out. It's a great website. I was a .NET member prior to being a staff member here at the website, and I can say I found it well worth my wrestling dollar to spend on this website. So, all of that at ProWrestling.net, and let's get into the show now. It opened with Jeremy Borash and Todd Kennelly, you know, kind of introducing us to open fight night. This is an issue I have with wrestling. There are certain adjectives that get thrown around a lot. Exciting is one of them. Controversial, for some reason, became one of them. Like, listen to Michael Cole after a WWE pay-per-view. The exciting, dynamic, and controversial finish last night is very much in question. And Todd Kennelly threw out some of those. Unpredictable, exciting, all of that in introducing Open Fight Night, and it rings hollow. Todd Kennelly, by the way, was the play-by-play guy on this show. Last week, he seemed to be in the color role with Jeremy Borash doing play-by-play, but Taz was gone, so Borash was actually at the table for the entire show and did color for the entire show. I was not ready for this much Todd Kennelly. I was, you know, I was fine with him last week. I didn't think he was great, but he wasn't bad. This week, it was a whole lot of Todd. And I didn't need that much Todd. I don't feel like that much Todd is really a necessity. And it was a little much for me. I know the hurricane put Taz in a situation where he couldn't come in. And I'll cut him some slack on that front this week. But I hope that the plan is not for Todd Kennelly to be a play-by-play guy, but rather a color guy. And really, I'm not sold on him anyways. You know, he's decent, but not spectacular. I'd be more than fine if TNA scrapped him and put another wrestler or someone else in that color slot. So the show opened with Joseph Park in the ring. Oddly enough, Ryan Kester, who listens to these, and does the TNA Impact Wrestling live coverage, which is what I use as an outline as I go through the show. Ryan Kester vacillated between calling him Joseph Park and Joseph Parks, much like TNA does. They can't decide if he's Joseph Park or Joseph Parks. Hulk says one thing, Aces and Eights say another, the commentators say another. It's crazy town up in that joint. So he talked about being tortured by Aces and Eights and how horrible that was, and he said he wants a member of Aces and Eights out there now. It's open fight night, and they have to fight. So four members of Aces and Eights came out and surrounded the ring. Then Kurt Angle's music hit. He charged the ring. Sting, Angle came out, and they guaranteed, you know, Sting got on the mic and said, we're going to take off one of your masks tonight. One of you will be unmasked tonight. That's happening. And the announcers then went to hyping the other call-outs that they knew would happen, with ODB calling out Jesse Godders, and D-Von calling out Bully Ray, and Christian York getting his gut check. By the way, the Christian York gut check, I think is one of the top, was one of the coolest things on this show. But we'll get to that. Then we saw Magnus talking about how someone that was a fraud was going to get revealed. Someone was going to get unmasked tonight, and he's not talking about Aces and Eights. And they went to commercial. Of course, he was on his way to the ring. Jesse Godders complained about having an ear infection and having to deal with ODB. Just kind of annoying. Jesse Godders and Tara aren't doing much for me at this moment. Magnus called out Samoa Joe for the TV title match of the night. Magnus said he doesn't respect, that Joe doesn't represent the company well, and they need someone with a better face. Ryan Kester said a batter face. Like, batter as in, like, cake batter, or batter as in, like, the batter at the home, at the plate in the baseball. No one knows. Sorry, guys. Part of this audio is also me mocking Ryan and him, like, texting me later saying how upset at me he is. That's not going to be much of it, though. Joe answered the challenge, cut Magnus off. Samoa Joe versus Magnus for the TNA television title. Samoa Joe won this match by disqualification in 3:38. Magnus pulled out a wrench, hit Joe in the head with it. Pretty basic match just to get them to the next level of their feud where Magnus being disqualified. A little bit later, they went to commercial after the match. After they came back, Joe was backstage and cut a promo on Magnus with ice on his head and basically said, I want you at Turning Point, no disqualification, you and me for the TV title. And then he said, Joe's gonna kill you. I've never heard Joe use his Joe's gonna kill you catchphrase. I don't remember him ever actually saying it. I thought it was a fan chant. But I really liked him saying it here. And I really like what Joe and Matt, you know, kind of the story that they told in their time on screen tonight. Now build it up for a couple weeks. Give Magnus some promo time. Give Joe some promo time. And who knows, the TV title might actually have some meaning. Before that Joe promo, we saw Hogan, Sting, and Joseph Park backstage. Angle came into the room with Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe, two guys heavily rumored to be parts of Aces and Eights. Sorry, there are multiples of both. There's not just one eight. And he told him, and Angle said he wants D-Von tonight. Hogan said D-Von belongs to Bully tonight, but you can have what's left of D-Von at Turning Point. Guys, it's 2012, and a pay-per-view, a high-profile pay-per-view match is being advertised between D-Von and Kurt Angle. This wouldn't have been okay in, like, 2000. Why is it okay now? Why? That's all. Just why is all I'm wondering. Also, D-Von, guys. Just D-Von. That's how lame this seems. And I remember when Bully Ray first turned and was being pushed as a major heel, I was really suspicious of it. I was saying, basically, Bubba Ray Dudley is going to be a lead heel in this company. Oh, good. But he really proved me wrong, and he proved me wrong quickly. The thing is D-Von doesn't look to be in the shape that Bully Ray got himself into. He doesn't look to be capable of telling the stories that Bully Ray has told. Like, there are all of these roadblocks where Bully Ray is the exception, not the rule. The rule is it's not going to work. And I really think that D-Von's going to prove that rule as very, very true. So, we got the video with Joe. And then we had Jeff Hardy backstage in his dressing room, putting on his paint. And this was... Suddenly it went into slow motion and we were inside of Jeff Hardy's head once again. Now, I do like interviews where Jeff Hardy is putting on paint. I think that's a nice touch that TNA does sometime, where he's sitting there putting on his paint and he's talking. I would have been fine with everything in this if Jeff Hardy was just talking to the cameraman. You know, man, Austin Aries, he's a challenge. He is a warrior. He is a guy that I cannot underestimate. But you know what? I'm going to come out on top of it. You know, if Jeff Hardy was just sitting there talking a little bit distracted by the paint... Actually, that's kind of an acting technique that helps some people out and might help Jeff Hardy be a little more comfortable. But no, instead we got the Jeff Hardy thoughts, you know, deep thoughts with Jeff Hardy voiceover. And now he's putting on the paint in slow motion and we hear everything he's thinking. Again, I don't necessarily hate this concept in and of itself. What I hate is that TNA... tries to present itself as a reality TV show, and this is so much against that reality that we're getting Jeff Hardy's thoughts. Just, boom, there they are. Jeff Hardy's thinking things. It's strange. But that's my life. Kazarian and Daniels then came out to cut a really racist promo. They called out Willie Urbina and Hector Guerrero and continued to just kind of make their characters one-dimensional by insulting the race of Chavo and Hernandez. Then LAX version 3.12, Chavo and Hernandez came out and ran them off to save the Spanish commentators. I didn't like the segment. I don't like what they're doing with Kazarian and Daniels. I don't think that they should be made to look strong, but I don't think that their whole, you know, their character is becoming, guys, we're racist because we're against Mexicans, and that's not really worth watching to me. That's not something that I want to watch. A video package aired for Christian York. They talked about how he was on the first TNA show and was not on another one. And York just talked about, hey, I've been up and down the roads. I've been in this business a long time. And this is one of those stories that I've kind of been waiting for on Gut Check. It's not the rookie. It's an experienced guy who's been on the indie scene and is just looking for a shot. And Gut Check happens to be that shot. And I thought that they told that story really well. One thing about Christian York in his actual Gut Check match, Christian York seems like a decent professional wrestler. Much like, in a way that the other Gut Check competitors have not. Christian York is a guy that I looked at and I'm like, oh yeah, this guy's actually good. which is crazy town when you think about how bad the gut check guys have been. You know, you've got CM Shaw in there. I think he was the high watermark for the gut check guys, and he was not good at this. So having Christian York in there, a dude who actually has charisma, knows how to work a crowd, knows how to wrestle, was a really stark contrast compared to what we're used to. And Christian York, it turned out, had a pretty good match with Zema Ion. I thought their timing seemed a little bit off. They didn't seem super comfortable with each other, but at the same time, they didn't seem super uncomfortable either. And that matters. York still looked good. York was crisp. York had focus. York was able to get it done. He ended up having a good match and almost winning. He hit a finishing move, kind of a crossroads-esque thing, a neckbreaker thing. He hit that move and came very close to winning the match. Zema Ion kicked out right at like 2 3/4 and ended up being able to lock him into his armbar submission and getting the win. I don't have an issue with York losing the match. If you're going to have someone win, I thought York would have been a good guy to do it. But at the same time, York losing, I don't feel like hurts him at all. So York loses the match. He was very competitive. And I just wonder what they're going to say about him next week in that gut check segment. This is a chance to say, you know, you held your own. And the thing about every other gut check match is that it has been a squash. Every other gut check match has been, and you lost. This was not a squash. This was a guy having a good, even match that he almost won. So you have to wonder if they take that into account and if if Al Snow and Taz and Bruce Pritchard are just like, yeah, it's a resounding yes. We want you as part of this company. I'm worried that it won't be that they'll say, well, you have some maturity issues behind the scenes or something dumb like that that doesn't belong on TV. But I don't know why you bring this guy in if you're not going to have him do it. Bonus, kind of a bonus feature or a bonus thought, he would be great in the exhibition. Christian York would be he looks to have the body type. He looks to be at least near the weight limit. And if you're talking about rebuilding the exhibition, put Christian York in there, you know? Christian York, Kenny King, Zema Ion, Rob Van Dam can anchor the division if you want him to. But these are guys that need to be seen. You know, throw in, I think you should, TNA should really be looking to get Jigsaw in there on at least a per night deal. So we can have, I really liked him as Rubix in the company. I thought he had some great matches for them. And really could add something fun and special to TNA. But, you know, maybe that's me being crazy. Who knows? Austin Aries was walking backstage with the TNA title belt, which he stole, which I loved because I love belt theft. And he said he considers himself to be the TNA champion and excused himself for some business he had to take care of. He walked into a room with Robbie E and Robbie T and said, like, hey, you remember 5 points? And Robbie E's like, yeah, I remember 5 points. Highlight of the BFGS. And that was kind of it. So you kind of saw where they were going, but not quite. So, then we saw Garrett Bischoff speaking with Bully Ray saying he has his back, and Bully Ray should have been like, yeah, that's great. Anyone can beat you up. You know that, right? Like, anyone, any person ever can dominate you. Thanks for having my back. That should have been that segment, but it wasn't. So then the Aces and Eights, like, Garrett Bischoff is like, I've got your back. And then the Aces and Eights come in, and they're like, they're right there. Wild brawl breaks out, and that was one of the wild brawls on the show, and it didn't need to be there, and they reinforced that someone was getting their mask taken off. You know, Sting was yelling it or something, and I think they just really wanted to emphasize to the viewers at home, we are doing this tonight. Someone's getting unmasked. We'll talk about how the unmasking actually turned out at the end of this audio update. So next up, we had ODB calling out Jesse Godders. And ODB had like a 5-minute promo of, this is everything about Jesse. He's a big brother, TMZ. Like, this list of things, basically, you're a reality star and I'm mocking you for it. Okay, easy heat, you know? And then we had ODB versus Jesse with Tara. Some weird things in this, like, Jesse actually slammed ODB at one point. And just you know, Jesse ended up winning the match. And TNA has said for a long time, Spike TV has a policy of no violence between men and women. And they've skirted around it with some of the Eric Young segments where they've actually, you know, made jokes out of the fact that Young won't hit women, but he is a Knockouts tag champ and stuff like that. So it was really intriguing to see them actually have Jesse slam ODB. I don't like it. A, Jesse looks like a big, bad professional wrestler. And it's not like ODB doesn't look like a tough chick that can handle her own. But I just don't like the man-on-woman fighting. I don't like it in Chikara when I watch that stuff, you know? That's something that really took me out of the very, very critically acclaimed King of Trios tournament. As I was watching that just going, yeah, these girls are good wrestlers, but man, I don't want to see guys hit them. That's not, you know, that's not something that I'm interested in watching. My hat's off to you if you can. I don't think you're like a spouse abuser or something. It's just different strokes for different folks. And for me, it's bordering on uncomfortable to watch that. And this match was uncomfortable to watch. So then we had Mike Tenay coming to the commentary position and doing the handoff with Todd Kennelly. Said Todd did a really great job on play-by-play tonight. Weird. This is still like the most awkward thing in wrestling television today. Is the, I guess, weekly handoff between the first hour and second hour commentary teams on TNA Impact Wrestling. I am all about the presence of different voices on the TV show. I think it actually helps the product, makes it less boring, makes you actually listen to the commentators a little more. I don't need to see Todd Kennelly standing behind Mike Tenay, lusting longingly after his spot. I don't need to see Mike Tenay, like, resentfully thanking him for a good job. And yes, I am reading in all of these emotions I don't see. Because, damn it, I can. So yeah, that's just, you know, an awkward moment on a weekly basis. Then we got Robbie E. and Robbie T. entering. And Robbie E. said the most memorable part of the Bound for Glory series is when he defeated Jeff Hardy. And, you know, Mike Tenay and Jeremy Borash on commentary pointed out, hey, that was for, you know, that was by count out. It was just in a few seconds. It's not that big of a deal. But Robbie E. was calling out Jeff Hardy so he could beat him again. Jeff Hardy made his entrance. And this was Jeff Hardy defeating Robbie E. in 7:35. There was a commercial break in the middle of the match. It really was not as good as it sounds. But it happened. It happened the way that TNA matches often do. It, you know, Robbie E. tried to cheat Jeff Hardy. It was pretty much a squash for him. Neat. I'm not, you know, it was a nice way to get Jeff Hardy on the show. Nice way to kind of remember that moment in the Bound for Glory series without dwelling on it for too long. And Hardy got his win back. Then we had Austin Aries coming out. And Austin Aries talked about how when he won the TNA title, he had to go through everyone. He had to climb the ladder. He had to ascend to the top. And Jeff Hardy said, you know, he had to ascend to the top. And then Jeff Hardy came and knocked him down. But he's not going to stay down for long. He's going to go back up. And Jeff Hardy said, it was almost contrived. He's like, did someone say ladder? Okay, he did not say, did someone say ladder? But he might as well. Did someone say ladder? We're having a ladder match at the pay-per-view. Jeff Hardy got a ladder out from under the ring, sat on top, and did that yelly, screechy thing he does where he's like, Austin Aries Hardy 2 ladder match! Cool. I'm not super into this being a ladder match. The main reason for me not being super into this being a ladder match is that it just doesn't feel like that point in the feud. It's the second match, and I kind of think of the ladder match as a third match kind of thing. Like, maybe Jeff Hardy wins the second match, but Austin Aries has a reason to come back and say, hey, you know, I had you beat, or I almost had a three count, or this happened, or that happened. I want a match with you. And Hardy says, that's fine, but you have to do it on my conditions, and it's going to be a ladder match. That's more, I don't know, to me, that's a better setup, and I know that's a little fantasy booky, which I don't like to get into too much. But what they're doing by making this a ladder match is just kind of, you know, trying to hype up the Victory Road or Turning Point pay-per-view as much as they can, obviously. But they're kind of turning me off of it in a way as well. And that's what kind of bugs me. But, you know, that's life. Hardy versus Aries 2 will be a ladder match. And, you know, it'll probably be a pretty damn good match. Hardy versus Aries 1 was a good match. It lacked a lot of things, but wrestling quality was not one of them. And I think we're going to get some great wrestling and some risk-taking and high-flying and all of that out of Aries Hardy, too. Then we saw a video of Matt Morgan at the Hulk Hogan Beach Shop, which apparently just opened, stealing a cape. Now, this cape is apparently the one that Hulk Hogan wore against Andre the Giant at Shea Stadium in 19-whatever, the first time he fought Andre the Giant, or one of the first times when he was a heel and Andre was a babyface and all that. And Matt Morgan took it. He's like, this is my cape now. Okay, maybe he didn't exactly do that, but it was pretty close. So Morgan now stole this cape. Neat. We'll get back to Matt Morgan and his cape later. James Storm talked to Hulk Hogan backstage, asked for a shot at the TNA title, and Hulk said, I have an idea, and walked away. Can't we go to commercial, come back, boom ya. Bobby Roode makes his entrance. He is off the chain, and Roode says he wasn't out there to fight, but out there to state a fact, and he said, you know, he couldn't get a TNA title shot with, In Control, with, Austin Aries is TNA champion, but he's not the champion, so he wants a match for the TNA title. AJ Styles came out and said, I've been distracted by some things. AJ's apparently get into elevators with people they may or may not be having sex with a lot. A nice little tip of the hat to WWE's odd AJ Lee story. Normally, I don't like TNA doing this, but in this instance, I was more than okay with it. It was funny. And they both kind of said why they deserve title shots. They started to brawl. Hulk Hogan's music hits. He comes out with James Storm standing next to him. Hulk Hogan makes a triple threat match. AJ Styles versus Bobby Roode versus James Storm at Turning Point. And the winner gets a title match. They're the number one contender. The loser does not get, the person pinned or the person that submits does not get a title match for the next year until Bound for Glory 2013. This is a really interesting stipulation to me. On the one hand, it's kind of, you know, you get your number one contendership match, and I'll get into the participants in a minute, but the not getting a title shot for a year stipulation, to me, telegraphs, this person might be winning the Bound for Glory series. Because whoever is pinned, and especially if it's like AJ Styles pinned by Bobby Roode in some sort of shady way, well then, Bobby Roode gets his title shot. Remember, Jeff Hardy will probably be champion after that show still. And you want a heel going up against him, probably not James Storm or AJ Styles, although Hardy versus Styles could be a hell of a pay-per-view main event. James Storm, a little more questionable. They built it up well in the Bound for Glory series, but the match wasn't super impressive. So you get Hardy, you know. So let's say if it's AJ Styles that gets pinned, he has a comeback story to tell, and there is a long story for Styles to tell here. As the same thing with Storm, really. A long story of redemption and winning their way back into the Bound for Glory series, and winning their way into that title shot as soon as they can get one. On the other hand, it also limits things for TNA if you take a possible opponent for a champion off the boards. They take someone off, you know, they take someone out of play. What stories do you tell with that person for the next year? We see, to me, this is also another triple threat match where they didn't know what to do with their mid-card, like we saw with Jeff Hardy, Rob Van Dam, and Mr. Anderson earlier in the year, where it was just, these three guys are here, triple threat. This was another, these three guys are here, triple threat. And when you see that, you go, okay, well, what are your plans? I hope whoever ends up without a title shot for a year has a year-long track that they will be on that will work for them. That's really important, that track is actually compelling and actually tells some decent stories. And I don't know that TNA does that. It's life. Joey Ryan and Matt Morgan were backstage. And as far as the three competitors go, I don't like restarting the Roode versus Storm feud. I thought we brought it to a nice conclusion at Bound for Glory, and TNA is trying to milk another match out of it, and it's a triple threat, and do they go in and wrestle each other normally? Like, can they do that after the feud that they had and the match that they had and just the all-out hate between them? Can they then go and put headlocks on each other? Also, I wouldn't be surprised if we got the beer money spot in this match, you know, where they both raise their arms, the beer money thing, while AJ is down at some point. That just, it wouldn't shock me. It would be dumb, but it really wouldn't shock me. Borash and Tanay ran down the Turning Point card. Meh, decent card. Matt Morgan and Joey Ryan enter. Morgan is wearing this stupid-looking robe. Like, Morgan looked so dumb. And it's depressing because you think of all the things that TNA has said Matt Morgan could be. The next Undertaker. He's the blueprint. He's, you know, a genetic whatever. He's a miracle. Matt Morgan's amazing. He has the charisma. I think Matt Morgan comes across as a likable enough guy on the mic. And they stick him as Joey Ryan's Diesel and put him in this stupid robe this week. And it's, you know, it's a continued frustration where it seems like they're misusing talent. Joey Ryan then called out Rob Van Dam and said he was going to show that the X Division can be X-rated. Rob Van Dam versus Joey Ryan. Ryan ended up rolling up Rob Van Dam for a win in 131 after Rob Van Dam almost got the 5-star frog splash. After the match, Rob Van Dam attacked Ryan, but Morgan hit him with the carbon footprint. Cool. D-Von was backstage getting ready for his match. Bully Ray gave a shout out to the people of the Northeast. Cool move. And then called out D-Von. D-Von came out from the Aces and Eights, like, entrance alley. And called in his reinforcements as Bully Ray had the table and all that. And, like, 10 Aces and Eights guys came in. 9 or 10, something like that. Bully Ray was swinging his chain at them, like, hey, don't come near me. You will get chained. And then Sting, Joseph Park, Angle, I think, was one of these guys. Like, basically, a whole lot of people came down to the ring. And there was another big brawl. As part of this brawl, Joseph Park snatched the mask off of Luke Gallows, and Luke Gallows was revealed. And Mike Tenay says, as Gallows is revealed, oh my god, it's him. He's been one of the henchmen for some of the biggest names in this business. But he never said, you know, that's the big LG, which I think is what he was going by on the indies, or said his real name, which I think is Luke Gallows. Like, I don't think there's an issue with calling him Luke Gallows, is there? Or, you know, whatever you wanted to say about him, that's, you know, he's done so much in this business. Give him a name. In that second, Mike Tenay should have known his name. Because then fans know his name. Because I'll tell you what people are doing as they're watching this. They're going, who was it? Was that that guy with CM Punk back in like 2010? The straight edge dude? You remember? He was like the retarded guy with the bell before? Oh god, what's his name? What's his name? Oh, whatever. If you want to make it a big reveal, say his name. Say his name, say his name. When no one is around, Mike Tenay's saying, baby, I love you. Why the sudden change? Say his name, say his name. All right, that's when you start song-a-logging Destiny's Child in the middle of a wrestling audio, you probably should move on to a different subject. The reveal was fine. Like, it was a cool moment where it was like, oh god, this guy! But the issue was is that it wasn't, oh god, the big LG, or Luke Gallows, or Gallows, whatever you want to call him. It was, oh god, this guy! This guy. This guy. Who's this guy? And they went off the air with the brawl still happening. I like the way they built up the unmasking. I thought that was a really cool move from TNA from the very beginning of the show to say this is happening. I didn't love the way that TNA did. I didn't love kind of the construction of the show. I don't love some of the directions they're going in for Turning Point. But I'm going to, you know, you let them go. The gut check match was the best gut check match we've seen to date because there was a real wrestler in it and not some, like, not just an indie guy. Like, you bring in a dude like Rubik's, Jigsaw from Chikara. You bring in some guys, you know, like Kenny King was. You bring in some of the top name, top level indie talent in the country. I have no problem. Those guys are going to have a good match. But you bring in these, like, OVW, not ready for OVW television dudes who can barely throw clotheslines. Yeah, then you've got issues. Not that throwing clotheslines makes you a wrestler. Although it should, man. Ryback has the best clothesline ever. Okay, maybe not the best ever, but it's in, like, my top five, I think. Skip Sheffield had a good clothesline back in the day, too. Remember that? Back in 2010, when Luke Gallows was friends with CM Punk? That's what people are thinking of today. Straight Edge Society rememberies. So, the show had its awkward moments. The show had its good moments. I am not a fan of TNA's current creative direction. And that's one of the biggest issues that a company can have is their creative direction is not solid. And that's where I believe TNA is at this moment. That's basically it. again, there's just, and it's not just creative direction, it's logic. And, you know, wrestling shows, even if their creative direction isn't great, I like for things to make sense. And there's things that TNA is doing from a production standpoint and just from a wrestling storytelling standpoint that don't make sense. The logic isn't there. And that's a problem. That's a big thing that TNA is getting wrong right now at this moment. So that's going to wrap it up this week. That's kind of where I am on TNA. I'll be back next week for .NET members. Maybe on the All Access side. We'll see what the boss man, J-Pow, wants. But for all of you All Access guys, thanks for joining us. Remember, get that app, review it, do some fun things with it. It's awesome. Members, thank you as always for joining us. Thank you so much for supporting the .NET member site. Thank you, All Access folk, for listening and for helping us, you know, get the word out about ProWrestling.net. Until next time, this is Will Pruitt signing off.